Well, greetings and hello. Thank you for joining us this Friday evening. And we want to talk about a subject which is so important to everybody, which is health. Now, in the secular world, most people don't pay much attention to doctors and medicines, etc., until they're sick. Then they get highly focused, get their healing, and go away and forget all about it. Now, I know modern medicine is trying to teach people about preventive lifestyles, and that's a wonderful thing. But in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual world, preventive measures are what should predominate one's life. If you recall from Healing School 1, 2, and 3, from the very first day we stressed that we're not teaching you how to pass a test, whether a written test, a verbal test, or a lab test, we're teaching you a lifestyle. A lifestyle. A lifestyle of living in Christ. Living without sicknesses, disease, infirmities. And that's what I want to stress tonight, what that lifestyle should look like in a capsule. It's kind of a big capsule, but it is a capsule. And so we're going to talk about this lifestyle because, as we all know, the days are getting increasingly terrible. And according to the book of Revelation, it's going to get vastly worse. And we know that Jesus is coming back in the not-too-distant future. Your job and my job is to survive all these challenges and be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That's the reason why we have a healing school. It's the reason why we have Bible school. It's the reason why we have every school. Is to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Now, I want to show you the importance of scriptural knowledge and why we have so many schools. We have, in about 10 years or so, created 8.5 years of formal schools. Including, of course, the Book of Revelation website as a school, and Living and Not Dying, Salvation Made Plain, and the other websites that we have that are large. 8.5 years of formal schooling. That's a lot of schooling. Why? To prepare us to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. So how important is knowledge? Before we look at healing school as a lifestyle, let's look at the preamble to why there's a healing school. So, look at the foundational scriptures. Hosea 4, verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me." Remember, the scripture says that because of Jesus, we've all been made kings and priests. "That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Those are pretty serious words, stressing how important it is to have knowledge. No place in the scriptures does it say, "My people are destroyed for lack of faith." God has given us a measure of faith. We have tremendous faith to be believers. Every believer has tremendous faith. The faith to be saved, to believe in a God you've never seen, is tremendous faith. And all the rest of our fundamental beliefs in Christianity take tremendous faith. And we all have that faith. So faith is generally not really the issue. The issue is knowledge. Having tremendous faith doesn't help you if you have no knowledge. You cannot have faith. You cannot have faith for a promise of God that you do not know. You must know the promise before you can apply the faith. Knowledge leads the way, and faith follows that knowledge. Let's look at first Proverbs 4:7. "Wisdom is a principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding." So we need wisdom. Scriptures tell us that Jesus is our wisdom. And Jesus will reveal and give us wisdom as we study the scriptures. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, it goes on to say, get wisdom while you can, but if you don't get wisdom while you can, when your calamities come, God won't be able to help you. Actually, those words have torn them down from the actual scriptures. You might want to take a look at it. Very significant. God is saying, please get wisdom. And of course, if you understand that Jesus is our wisdom, it's even more important that we get Jesus as our wisdom, but follow on to get wisdom. For with wisdom comes understanding. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, what are you doing when you're continuing in the word? You are learning more about the promises, and you're acting in faith on those promises. Then you're my disciples indeed. So those who continue in the word and practice the word are the disciples. They are believers and they are disciples. I'll tell you, those who are going to be raptured when Jesus returns start as being disciples. Just being a disciple is not enough. They have to be alive and remain. But the remainers, alive and remainers, are going to come out of the disciples. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Scripture is telling us, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not just guessing what the word means, but rightly dividing it, understanding it in the context and in the chapter and for the whole Bible. Understanding what God's word really means. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when Jesus appears, we shall be as he is. Scripture says, be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He is our role model. He's our Savior, our Lord, our role model. And when he returns, we shall be as he is. What exactly does that mean? Well, it's not clear from the scripture. We know we shall be as he is. But the scripture I want to focus on is the next one. 1 John 3:3. And every man that has this hope to be alive and remain when Jesus returns, purifies himself even as Jesus is pure. Purify himself even as he is pure. He is our role model. Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Well, we know if we keep his commandments, we're walking free of sin. And if we do make a mistake in sin, we do confess our sins. So these scriptures, these foundational scriptures, show you how important it is to gain the knowledge of the word. And tonight we're focusing on the knowledge of the word and healing. I know healing school is three semesters, a year and a half, many, many modules, a lot of material. You cannot absorb it going through it once or twice or three times. It's a lot of material to absorb, but you don't need to absorb it all. Some will stick, and the rest will be like a background supporting it. It's like you're driving across a bridge, and you can see the fences alongside the bridge that keeps you from going over. You can see the roadway. You can see where the roadway ends. That's the bridge. You see that. You can't see what's below the bridge, but you know below the bridge are tremendous structures that's preventing the bridge from falling. That's the way it is. When you're presented with a lot of knowledge, some would stick, and that's like the roadway you're driving on. That's what you're doing. But you know there's a tremendous amount of scriptures that support that roadway. So let's jump into healing school. A healing school lifestyle. To have a lifestyle that's based around healing school and what you learn in healing school is a wonderful way to prepare yourself for these turbulent times which are coming up on the earth and for the return of Jesus. And A wonderful way to start your day is with your morning prayers. All ABCs should have the ABC recommended morning prayers. They're short sets and they're long sets. They're sets for really advanced believers who have time to put time into it, and they're shorter versions. But they are all fundamentally quite similar. And then we recommend doing some Bible reading. And if you read in a hurry, even one verse. When I got saved, the only commitment I made to God was that I'd read one line of the Bible per day. That was the commitment, one line. So if you read in a hurry, and all you have time for is to read one line, at least you've started your day, and the first thing you've read is the Word of God. And then communion is a very wonderful way to start your morning. And you end your evening in a similar manner. Now, keeping that in mind as the beginning of the ending of your day, what should you be doing through the day? So let's look at some of the things that should have stuck with you through Hidden School Semesters 1, 2, and 3. And many of you will see things that you're already doing. Maybe some of you will see everything in here you are already doing. So let's look at it. The theme for Healing School Semester 1 is healing comes through the spoken word. The theme is healing comes through the spoken word. That means you should be speaking the Word of God, which I abbreviate in here as W-O-G, Word of God. From Healing School Semester 1, you should learn it's very important to speak the Word of God. You're all doing that, speaking the Word of God. You should have learned, confess your sins every time you sin and you know it. When you sin and you know it, you confess your sins. Then periodically, frequently, you deal with the unknown sins, the sins of which you're not aware. You deal with that periodically because they open the door to the enemy. You want to shut those doors. And we're recommending somewhere between once every 15 minutes to once an hour. You should deal with the unknown sins. Lord, I don't know any sins. In the name of Jesus, right now I declare that the blood of Jesus washes me free of all unrighteousness. Or, the way we used to do it before, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now, I personally try to target every 15 minutes. It took me a lot of years to do that. Quite often I don't make it, but that is the target. Now, the minimum time I see for an ABCer should be 5 times per day. Why 5 times per day? Well, with your morning prayer, before you start addressing a holy God, you should deal with your unknown sins. Lord, I've been asleep all night. I don't know any sins. Please cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Then 3 times a day you eat. When you eat, you should bless your meal with a healing scripture. Exodus 23:24. Father God, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Your word promises you'll bless my bread and water and take all sickness from the midst of me. You're turning your meal into a healing service. Well, before you pray that, shouldn't you confess your sins? Or rather, shouldn't you deal with unknown sins? We're assuming you're confessing your known sins every time you sin and you calm down. And then before you go to bed in your night prayers, again, Lord, I don't know any sins. And then you deal with your night prayers. 5 times a day, minimum. Of course, if you're receiving communion during the day, you should do it. If you're having a prayer service with God, even reading the Bible, you should confess your sins before you ask God to give you revelation knowledge as you read. And number 2, pray in tongues a lot. I'm sure that comes as no surprise to anybody. We recommend 1 hour per day praying in tongues. Just 1 hour. And then target that, and then as a background, as you're working, driving, pray in tongues as you can. And of course, you all know you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in order to pray in tongues. Number 3, believe that you receive when you pray. What's that? Mark 11:24. That's the essence of Mark 11:24. Believe that you receive when you pray. You pray, whatever you pray, you must believe that when you prayed it, it's done. Every single prayer is founded on Mark 11:24. And the essence of Mark 11:24 is that when you pray, you believe God has heard your prayer and answered it. And from that point on, after you say amen, you're walking in faith, executing a faith action plan, which is abbreviated here, FAP. So, affirm the Word of God as part of your faith action plan. You all know this. And you do it in your normal conversation, in your prayer time, every opportunity you get to affirm the Word of God. People say, how are you feeling? In the name of Jesus, I've been healed. In the name of Jesus, everything is going wonderfully well. In the name of Jesus, God is my provider. There are many opportunities through the day to speak the Word of God. And know that when you speak the Word of God, up to 40 wonderful things occur when you speak the Word of God. This is all semester one. If you've forgotten the 40 things, go review semester one. It's in your manual. 40 wonderful things happen. And then we recommend in semester one, you receive communion daily, once per day. See, all that is semester one, all that I'm sure you all know cold and are practicing it. Now, healing school semester two, similar. The theme is healing comes through living in the fruit of the Spirit. Healing comes through living in the fruit of the Spirit. That means you must know the fruit of the Spirit. And you must be abiding by it, obeying it. So number one, starts off with this. Your five-part being, the Pentecolomy, is controlled by the cycle of change. So you're a five-part being, and what controls it and sets the directions, where you're going and what you're doing, is a cycle of change. The cycle of change is that you renew your mind, so you learn the promises of God, you learn the Word of God, then you act on what's in your mind, which puts it in your heart, and you speak what's in your heart, which guides, leads, and helps your soul to mature and progress. So your tongue guides your soul. So renew your mind, speak or act on it to put it in your heart, speak it to guide your soul, and as your soul prospers, so does your health and then your finances. All that just by doing the fundamentals of studying the Word and acting on it. Again, the cycle of change is what controls your five-part being. You renew your mind, which is you're studying the Word, you're reading the Bible, you're acting on it to put it in your heart, and then you speak it. As you speak it, it sets your soul free. The engrafted Word sets your soul free. All that you've been living and doing automatically, just reminding you of the powerful things that are happening while you do this. Number two is being a loving, forgiving person. Again, be a loving, forgiving person. Why? Because Matthew 22:37 says you must love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and in Mark it says in strength, which is the body, and love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets come down to love. And God is love. And your faith works by love. Scripture says if you don't love your brother that you can see, how can you say you love God? It all comes down to love. So live a life of love. Live a forgiving life, and speak the Word of God. So healing comes through living the fruit of the Spirit. You'll be living in the fruit of the Spirit if you're walking in love. So as you continue to be a forgiving person, you need to continuously check for offense. Three things you want to check for. Offense. If you see offense, you forgive the person. No matter how terrible the offense is, from your heart you forgive them and bless them. If you don't spot the offense after an interaction, I basically, when I'm counseling, tell people, after every interaction with a person, whether live, over Zoom, by telephone, by text message, by TV, listening to the news, hearing your neighbor scream, every interaction with a person, check to see if you're offended. If you weren't offended, look to see if you lost some of your joy, peace, or patience. Because offense blocks all your prayers. Offense blocks all your prayers. You want to be highly focused and spotting it. Look for the offense. If you can't see it at the high level, go lower down. Did you lose some joy, peace, or patience? If you still don't see it, and if the person that you have been interacting with is very important to you, you care about them, you care what happens to them, you love them, they're part of the family, part of your church group, if they're important to you, then go one step further on and look, did you see them making a mistake? Did you see them making a mistake? An error? Because if you did, you would have lost some joy, peace, and patience. So forgive them for making the mistake and bless them from your heart. Is this in depth? Absolutely. Is this fanatic? I'm fanatic about being healthy. And I'm fanatic about Jesus. And I'm fanatic about being alive and reigning when Jesus returns. How about you? Number three, live in the fruit of the Spirit. Well, your healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. So you want to live in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Love, joy, peace, patience. Gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and self-control. You should have those memorized. If you don't have those memorized, you're not really integrating healing through semester 2 into your lifestyle. You must have them memorized so you know when you're violating them. Because at the level of healing school semester 2, you should treat every violation of the fruit as a sin and confess it. And they're vitally important. Let's look at them. The first one is love. Well, God is love. And God tells you you must live by love. And your faith works by love. That's how vital it is. In His presence is fullness of joy. And you're kept in perfect peace when your mind is fixed up in Him. So the first three are all God. Then patience. He is the God of patience, but patience is where you start to put more of the effort into it. Patience is the second worst sin. Patience is a part of the fruit that's mentioned the most in the book of Revelation. Patience is mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation. That's the most. It's in your patience you possess your soul. And it's in your patience you're going to overcome to the days that are coming ahead that are so trying. It's your patience that will be the main support as you remain and last through all the challenges and overcome them and survive to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. Patience. 7 times in the book of Revelation. Then we come to gentleness. I have gentleness bolded. That means it's in bold. Because I'm making it bold to you. I'm bold to tell you it's bold. Why? Because boldness is very important on this point. Gentleness is number 5. 5 is the number of grace. But preceding gentleness, there are 4. And following gentleness, there are 4. There's a balance in gentleness. The first 4, God helps us the most, and we participate more and more. For example, love is almost all God. We have to walk in love, true, but God is love, and God has put that love in our heart. It's a gift from God. All we have to do is use it. And the 4 below gentleness are less God helping and more of you. By the time you get to self-control, it's almost all you. So there's a balance, and gentleness is the pivot point. It's the pivot point where God is helping a lot, doing most carrying most of the heavy load, but beyond gentleness, on the last 4, you're doing most of the work. You're carrying the heavy load. It's a pivot. So when you put together what God is doing for you and what you're doing for yourself, and if you're being successful, they come together in gentleness. Me, I got a long way to go. Well, let me cancel it. That sounds like a curse. I'm cursing myself. Let's say I'm working really hard to improve in gentleness. Because gentleness is the pivot point. Gentleness is a summary point of how you've taken God's help and your own talents and gifting and control to put it together for a spearhead, and the spearhead is gentleness. So, gentleness is not an also-ran. Gentleness is really the name of the game. When God is doing his part and you're doing your part, you will be gentle in everything. You will turn the other cheek. Then goodness. Goodness is God's goodness and glory coming out of you. Faith. We're all experts in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And because of faith, God rewards those who diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. And then there's humility, which is italicized. Why? Because humility is like your secret weapon. Humility. We should all desire humility. Humility is one, not above self-control. You have to muster that discipline, that moderation, that temperance, that self-control to do something. But the first thing you want to do with that something is choose to walk in humility. Choose to walk in humility. Pride is the worst sin. And the external manifestation of pride is a haughty spirit. Now, in the world, well, let's leave that aside. Just say, pride is the worst sin, pride is spiritual, and pride is internal. But the external manifestation of pride that people can see is that haughty spirit. Humility is spiritual. Humility is inside. But the external manifestation of that humility is meekness. Meekness is how you take that humility and, in gentleness, interact with the people whom you're esteeming greater than yourself. And the Bible says Moses was the meekest of all. The meekest of all. So, healing comes through living the fruit of the Spirit. The starting point is that the cycle of change lead and guide your five parts. Be a loving, forgiving person and live in the fruit of the Spirit. To live in the fruit of the Spirit, we recommend strongly that you get on the escalator of the fruit by letting your self-control work with your love for God to do something special for God. When, because of love, you take your self-control, your discipline, and do something special for God, take one step closer to God, then you earn the escalator of the fruit of the Spirit, which pulls you upwards towards God. Now, we move towards God one step at a time. James 4:8 says, take a step towards God, God will take a step towards you. Every one of those steps you take because of love is putting you more and more on the escalator of the fruit, pulling you automatically up towards God. Number four, live in the kingdom of God by not sinning. We know that the kingdom of heaven is where God lives. We know the reference to the kingdom of heaven is only in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is teaching the Jews, you need to book your ticket to heaven. You need to get saved. You need a savior. Outside the book of Matthew, all references are to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God includes the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of God is inside you, and you can establish it around you. Jesus prayed that the Father's will be done on earth. So you, with the prayer of authority, can cleanse your home, for example, and establish the kingdom of God in your home, and let the glory of anointing God fill your home. Establish the kingdom of God in your home. Once it's established, you stay in there by not sinning. If you sin, you have taken God off the throne of your life for a while and put a demon in charge of your life for that period of sinning. The kingdom of God is going to leave. The anointing is going to leave. Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. All the time. And that Spirit of God, without measure, never left them. Why? Because the Spirit of God came down. John chapter 1 describes how the Spirit of God came down upon Jesus and remained upon him. And that's how John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the Messiah, because the Spirit of God came down upon him and remained upon him. And that's what we want, to be followers of Jesus Christ and have the kingdom of God on us, have the kingdom of God around us, have the Spirit of God in us and on us, and remain in that kingdom of God. If you continue to live in the fruit of the Spirit, then you'll be living in alignment. Your five parts will line up on the Word of God. God lives in your spirit. All the power of God is in your spirit. And when you walk in alignment, all the power inside you is available to flow out of you, which it will if you are in alignment. If your spirit, wherein God lives, wherein the Holy Spirit is, if the spirit is full of the anointing of God, then the only thing keeping it from flowing out is your heart. If you part your heart on a particular set of scriptures, or a particular aspect of the kingdom of God, and your tongue speaks it, and your soul accepts it, then you find that your spirit, heart, soul, mind, and body are all in alignment. That's why when you speak the Word of God, it guides your soul, and your body eventually lines up. So, stay in alignment. If you are living by the fruit of the Spirit, you're automatically in alignment. If you're in alignment, that anointing in you is available to flow out whenever you need it, such as when you're praying for somebody or yourself. And if you're staying in the kingdom of God, the anointing is on you and around you. So as long as you're living by the fruit of the Spirit and staying in the kingdom of God, you have the anointing on you and the anointing in you, all available to heal people and to heal yourself. That's a different way of looking at chase God, and the blessings will chase you. You're chasing God because you're living by His fruit. You're chasing God because you're staying in the kingdom of God. And when you're chasing God, the blessings are available. Why? Because the anointing is going to flow out and merge with the anointing on you, and your prayers are going to be mighty and powerful. And the anointing will drive away the demons. Chase God by staying in alignment, by living by the fruit of the Spirit. Chase God by staying in the kingdom of God, and let the anointing be upon you. Number 5, practice of the lifestyle, the 10 secondary methods of healing. So, the 10 secondary methods of healing. We emphasize them all throughout healing school, especially semester 1 and 2. Many of them you are already doing. You should know what they are. So, integrate them into your lifestyle. And if during times of significant challenge, if your regular lifestyle is not enough to overcome them, then take these items as the Holy Spirit leads you from the 10 secular methods and merge them into what we call a scenario. So you may spend 5, 10 minutes, or an hour, or 4 hours just doing the scenario or repeating the scenarios. Such as, you confess your sins, you do praise and worship, you receive communion, you do affirmations, and maybe during that time when you confess your sins, you break curses, cast demons out of your room. You worship God in your body, you dance before God. These are some of the 10 secondary methods. You are already doing them as part of your lifestyle. But be aware of what the 10 are and integrate them in scenarios when you really want to see big, rapid changes in your lifestyle or your health. Which brings us to the healing school semester 3. So in semester 1, healing comes through the spoken word. In semester 2, healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. In semester 2, healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. And in semester 3, healing comes through cleansing, through personal cleansing. So James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is supposed to flee from every Christian. The devil is supposed to flee from every Christian. The devil has no power. He's under your feet. The only power he has is the power you give him. You give him power when you sin, and especially when you don't confess that sin. So the idea is to quit sinning. Submit yourself to God. We should submit ourselves to God, to His Word. And submitting yourself to God is, in a very real sense, another way of saying living in Christ. Living in Christ Jesus. Many people accept Jesus as Savior and live with Him as Savior. And you go to church once a week and they worship Him and they read the Bible a little bit. But they don't accept Him as Lord every single day, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do right now? And they don't, when they see the Word and the Word says don't do it, sometimes they stop, sometimes they don't. But when you accept Jesus as Lord, when you live in Christ Jesus, then your focus is on spiritual things, not carnal things. Your focus is on letting the Word cleanse you. If the Word says do it, you do it. If the Word says don't do it, you stop doing it. Living in Christ Jesus. You're submitted to the Word. And when you're submitted to the Word, you're submitted to God. And when you're submitted and you resist the devil, he will flee. Now, overall, a major step towards submission is submitting yourself by going through the five baptisms. We just talked about two. Baptism into Jesus, which is being born again. Baptism into Christ, which is living with Him as Lord. There's baptism by water, you all know. There's baptism by the Holy Ghost, which you all know. And there's baptism by fire. The baptism by fire is letting the love of God burn everything out of you that does not belong to a godly person, or that's displeasing to God, or that does not belong in the mind of Christ. The fire of your love burns it out. How does it burn it out? By letting the water wash you out. The water wash you. The water of the Word shows you what's wrong. You stop doing it. And the fire of your love just causes it to burn out. It burns it. You burn it out of your life. It's a bad habit. I don't want it. And the fire of your love burns it out as the water washes you free of those challenges. Five, baptism. You're only baptized in Jesus once. You're only born again once. You're only baptized in water once. You're only baptized in the Holy Spirit once. But the baptism into Christ Jesus, the living in Christ Jesus, and the baptism by fire, these are ongoing washings, ongoing things that you do. So at a high level, that's what you're doing. At a lower level, what does it mean? It means Jesus is your boss, your Lord, and you do what He says. You keep His commandments, and you let the Word wash you. If you're living semester 1 and 2, you will be successful with cleansing. For by living semester 1 and 2, you're actually living in the armor of God. If you're living semester 1 and 2, you're wearing the armor of God all the time. The armor of God is meant to be a lifestyle that you have all the time. A lifestyle based on truth, the Word of God. Based on knowing that you're the righteousness of God. And God wants you to take that righteousness that's in your spirit and work it out in your flesh. Based on the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're always preparing the Word as you see it to help others and to help yourself. And that you're learning to walk by faith and not by sight. You're recovering the sight that God gave you, the sight of walking by faith. And you're applying all the promises that God gave you, that Jesus paid for your body that was bruised, so your body can walk in health and be restored to the glory that God gave it. For you're no longer short of the glory of God. Jesus came and restored you and me to the glory of God. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils. First sign following believers is to cast out devils. First sign is cast out devils. Casting devils out of people is wonderful. Casting devils out of your house is great. and casting the bad habits, getting the bad habits out of your life. Behind every bad habit is a demon. So you want to get the bad habits and the demons out of your life. You have a right to cast them out of your life. Cast them out of wherever they are. And of course, second one is just speak with tongues. Speak with tongues. Tongues is the only place in the Bible where it tells you to build yourself up. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in tongues. It's in Jude 14, I think, or Jude 12. The other one is in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Praying in tongues edifies you, it builds you up. Praying in tongues builds you up. Many of you are resisting praying in tongues a lot. I guess perhaps you don't want to get built up. Me, I want all the building up I can get in my spiritual realm. 1 John 5:8. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. As part of part three. Have regular personal cleansing sessions. Yes, every time you confess your sins, you confess, repent, renounce, and you break. If you've been through semester three, cast out demons. Cast out the demons behind your sins. But periodically, every once in a while, have a time of cleansing. Sit down and go through the full cleansing regimen that you're taught and get rid of the demons in your life. A church without spot or wrinkle, a holy church without blemish, doesn't have demons. And Jesus wants to present to himself a church without spot or wrinkle, a church without blemish, when he returns. He's washing the church to present it to himself. He's going to present that church to himself when he returns. He says, when I return, shall I find faith? 1 John 5:8, and there are three that bear witness in earth. Three that bear witness in earth. The spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. So that's that very powerful prayer that we learn in Healing School Semester 3, that you're not supposed to teach to anybody who hasn't been through Healing School Semester 3. And you use it in places where you need powerful prayer and treat it with respect and reverence as something special of God. We give you some examples in Healing School Semester 3 where you should not play with this prayer. It's a serious, significant prayer. I want to stress it to you now. In Leviticus chapter 8, the entire chapter is on God telling Moses how to ordain Aaron and his sons as priests. It's a process of ordination. It's a long chapter. It's an outstanding chapter. But it all pivots around the three witness prayer. After they've been ordained, after they've been washed away by the water, prayed for with the blood, and anointed with the oil, final instructions that God gave to them through Moses was this. Now that you've been ordained, now that you've been three witnessed, stay in the tabernacle for 7 days. Do not come out of the tabernacle for 7 days, or you will die. Or you will die. Leviticus 8, verse 35. Three witness is a very powerful prayer, produces a lot of miracles, but it requires that you know what you're doing, that you've been through healing school semester 3, and that you're doing your best to stay in the kingdom of God and to confess your sins. Finally, Luke 10, 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. So the fact that they would have died when they left the tabernacle, they were not children of God. We are children of God. We're in the age of grace. We're children of God, and we have the ability to confess our sins. So nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you, even when you use the three witness prayer. But let's be submitted to God. Let's be consecrated to God. Let's walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Let's stay in the kingdom of God. And as we do that and we grow, remember that we teach seven levels of healing. Level number one is affirmations, really based on Mark 11:24. Level number two is authority. John 14:14. Again, based on Mark 11:24. But here, no, you're not asking God. you're telling the challengers to leave. Then there's authority where you're telling the demons to leave. Seven levels. Healing school, semester three. As we close, there's something I didn't put on here because it was not taught in healing school semester one, two, and three. It's what I've been stressing now for a few months. It's called interval living. An interval is a period of time. Interval. Interval living. You're being led by the Spirit of God for a period of time. Interval living. So during this period of time, you're being led by the Spirit of God. You ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do over the next hour or two? Or what do you want me to do? And what he wants you to do may take 3 hours. Whatever it is, there's a period of time defined by a number of things, one or more things you're going to do. There's the interval. Now, when you are doing interval living, when you go into this period of time, you're being led by the Spirit of God because you believe God wants you to do, let's say, 3 things, which will take you 2 hours. As long as you're working on those 3 things, you are walking by faith. You're being obedient to God. God's grace can be released into your life. You're not sinning. In fact, if you looked at it, while you're doing that, during that interval, you are living by the fruit of the Spirit. You're walking in the armor of God. You're staying in the kingdom of God. And you're under grace. All of that by doing interval living. And more. What I'm saying is, by doing interval living, you are doing in one scenario, if you want to call that, it's not a scenario, it's a scene, it's a period of time. In one period of time, one interval, you are doing most of the things that we tell you to do in healing school semester 1, 2, and 3. Just by focusing on this period of time for the items God wants you to do. And if during this time something comes up that demands your attention and it's not on your list, you will know automatically, it's like a sore thumb sticking out. That's not on my list. And you'll stop and say, Holy Spirit, should I do it? And he'll give you directions. How wonderful a way to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you start the interval by confessing your sins and receiving communion, and casting out the demons, that period of time, you now got almost everything on these 2 pages covered. Just doing that interval living. Take the concept of interval living and go look at the outline and see how everything fits into it. Just by confessing your sins, casting out the demons that are around the area, establishing the kingdom of God, and then do the interval living. You've covered almost everything that we have gone through on this outline. God has given us a great concept, a great method of preparing ourselves for the times that are coming ahead. I'm very excited about it. I hope you will be too. Thank you for participating in this service. May God bless you and keep you throughout the coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, okay, so we get our communion elements available. And we thank you, Lord, and praise you, Jesus, that this is a wonderful thing that we can do every day, many times a day. And, you know, we can't do it too many times a day. You notice God put absolutely no limits on communion. He just said whenever. So he's leaving the decision of how often up to us. Praise God. So let's take a moment and confess our sins and be in a state of righteousness to come before our righteous God in Holy Communion. Oh, Father, we just thank you that we have your word that tells us that on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He blessed it, he broke it, he said, take, eat, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's so simple, Lord. Take, eat, remember. Three commands. And it's something we can do so easily. We take it, we eat it, we remember what he's done for us. With the broken body, he took the 39 stripes upon his back. 39 times. And those 39 stripes upon him represent the payment made for every sickness, disease, infirmity, and pain that would ever be made known to mankind. All that Satan would come up with, because our God knows the end from the beginning. And so he was totally prepared to pay the price for it all. He knows about some of these things that we don't even know about yet. He knew about COVID before we knew, before we'd ever heard that term. And so we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can now boldly say that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We are the healed of the Lord, and we do boldly say so as we now receive together the broken body of Jesus in that great exchange to receive our healing and wholeness and full manifestation in our bodies. In Jesus' name, let's partake together. And in the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us so that we could live. You poured out your blood for us, every last drop, for the life is in the blood. And as you poured out your life, you poured out every drop of blood, and you've made that blood available to us. You've made the life that is in that blood available to us. For we choose to be saturated with the blood of Jesus and filled with the life of God. For God is in Jesus, Jesus is in us. And we thank you and praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus, for all the wonderful promises purchased with your blood and these covenants that are available to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive of your precious blood, your precious promises, and your precious life into our own physical, natural bodies and beings. We receive now in Jesus' name.